Jesus is indeed lovely, and he is also powerful. And last week we began a study in Mark's superb gospel, as one person called it, looking at Jesus Christ's power over nature, his miraculous, almighty power. And tonight we're going to continue our study, looking particularly at the last part of the portion of scripture that was read, the man with leprosy, from verse 40 to the end of verse 45. 40 to 45. Now, boys and girls, I don't know if any of you in here are big scaredy cats when it comes to going to the dentist or comes to going to doctors. Well, I've got to admit, I'm a wee bit of a fearty. Every so often when I've had to give blood at the doctors, I've fainted. And this is a dangerous thing I'm about to say, because my mother's actually in the congregation, but it's in the family, really, because I've got an uncle, her brother. Now watch in case she goes for me. I've got an uncle called Donald, who's a bit of a fearty cat as well. He's a bit of a scaredy when it comes to going to the dentist to get his teeth seen to, and also if he's got any illness. He's not really very keen. Now, I don't exactly understand the logic of it all, but he'll be in pain, he'll be in agony, but he won't go to the doctor. And doctors make you better, and he wants to be better, but he's scared to go to the doctor. I don't really know what the logic is, but tonight we're going to look at somebody who's very, very different. This is somebody who actually had a pain, who had a problem, who was suffering terribly, but he did the right thing, he did the wise thing. He actually went directly to the doctor. He didn't avoid him, he wasn't a scaredy cat, he wasn't a fearty, he actually went directly to the doctor. And the doctor has a capital D, because it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we'll look at this man and his approach to Jesus. The man had leprosy. Now, leprosy was a very painful and contagious skin disease, which could not be cured in the days of Jesus Christ. I understand that today it can be cured, and very successfully. It can be stopped from going any further, although the deformities that happen to people cannot be undone. The deformities remain, but the disease itself can be stopped. But in the days of Jesus Christ, and in the days of writing this story, the writer was telling us, in no uncertain terms, that he had an illness that would lead to death. There were two forms of real leprosy. One of them just began with spots, and the skin thickened, and it became deformed, and parts of the body began to drop off. A very, very painful disease. And another type attacked the nerves, and it worked away so that areas of the skin couldn't feel anything. You might put your hand against a fire and not be able to feel it at all. It was a dreadful thing, and the deformities that came upon the people were awful, and people could notice them a mile off. There's still leprosy today, and folks suffer terribly. And as I was reading one godly man of, I think, a century ago, J.C. Ryle, he said that leprosy goes deeper than just the skin. It's not just something on the outside. It's actually inside as well. He says, and I quote him, "It attacks not merely the skin, but the blood, the flesh, and the bones, until the unhappy patient begins to lose his extremities and rot by inches." Absolutely agonizing, painful, dreadful disease, and there was no cure then whatsoever for it. And this is what the writer's bringing before us. And as if that wasn't bad enough, the pain that a leper had to suffer, the agony of that, whether it be on their faces, on their bodies, their hands, their legs, or whatever, there was another pain as well, which in many ways, I dare say, may have been more painful than that which he was suffering in his body. That was the social pain, because a leper was completely cast out, away from his people. Because it was contagious, because you could pick it up so very easily, the people were put outside of the camp. They were sent outside, away from the people, so that they couldn't pass on what they had. And they were sent away into a terrible, lonely existence. The only people they could ever meet with were other lepers. And often there'd be an individual sent outside the camp to live alone. Now, any of you who have at any time in your lives known loneliness can say with all your heart, I'm sure, that this is an agony which is almost unbearable, a dreadful thing. I believe that
what it says in Genesis about it's not good for a man to be alone, that also includes society and society as a whole. And of course the gospel of Jesus Christ is calling us back into a new society and to be a group of people, a community, a covenant community. But we're looking at his situation just now. The leper was somebody who was cast out, and this was prescribed by law. If you didn't obey, you were actually in a perilous situation. You were in danger of being severely reprimanded by the people. Ivor Powell, somebody commentating on a leper situation, says that the sufferer had to stay outside the camp, go with torn clothes, a bare head, and a covering on his upper lip. No matter where he went in this condition, he had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He had to, as it were, clear the way so that no one could have contact with him. No one was allowed to minister to him at all. You were not allowed to touch him. Can you imagine the loneliness? So this man had not only the physical pain, but the social pain, the pain inside of not having contact with people. And this is a dreadful and a sad picture. And at one point in the Bible, there's a portion which almost brings tears to, well, it certainly almost brings tears to my own eyes. In Luke chapter 17, there's 10 lepers, and they're standing a distance away from Jesus. And you can almost see them there, just longing, their hearts wanting to leave their very bodies and go and see what he's doing. Want to be right in the midst of the people. He is working his miracles. He's doing amazing things. And these poor 10 men are standing at a distance. And you can just see them aching, wanting to be there. And they cry out with all their voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Verse 12. There's just a deep longing, a pain and an agony inside. Both the societal one, the fact that they're cast out, and also the physical one. Not being able to bear this pain day in, day out. And each day seeing more and more of their own body rotting away. It's a terrible, terrible situation. And the Bible has this picture of leprosy for us, for a condition that all of us have as well, and that is sin. A terrible, terrible rotting condition. And there's no one in here, including the bloke with a white collar on at the front, who is exempt. Every single one of us was born that way because Adam fell from grace in the Garden of Eden. Everybody's been tainted and tarnished by sin, and this is a desperately sad picture. And I want to look at this man's actions, because what he did is really a summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus did to him. The whole of the gospel you could almost find in here as regards sinners and their need of God's help. Can we look then first at what he did? Verse 40. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees. Now, this story would really have startled the first readers of it, the first hearers of it. If we could put on our virtual reality headset and see society in the way that they saw it, this would really have shaken them to their boots, because he actually didn't follow the rules. He was supposed to stand at a distance away, crying out, "Unclean, unclean." But what did he do in the situation? He went right in there and he addressed Jesus. He came and begged him on his knees. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He wasn't supposed to do this. But if you can understand his plight, he was in agony. He was in desperate, desperate agony. And I don't know, but there may be someone, there may be some people, plural in here tonight, who are in spiritual agony and who have a massive load of questions. Too many to be brought out in just an hour. Masses of them. And are desperate to hear. Well, here is the word of God, and I want you to hear it in all its splendor and its beauty, and see how God deals with those who are desperate to know cleansing. He was in agony. Luke 5 verse 12 actually says that he was full of leprosy. His condition was actually dreadful. There are various stages along in the disease. But this man was in absolute agony. He was in real pain. He was full of leprosy. And it's amazing. This story is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there are various angles. We wouldn't have known that he was full of leprosy were it not for the glorious fact that God gave us Luke as well. And other aspects from Matthew. A full picture. He was desperate. And he knew that he was in danger and he was in peril by going in there, because they could stone him. He was breaking the law. He was endangering all their lives. This is contagious. It's a disease that is picked up by other people, a contagious and very powerful disease advancing. And he just went in anyway. So he was doing something really quite fearful. And I'm sure he was aware of it as he went there. But really, at his stage, what could they do to him? They could kill him. And the way he was, I'm sure he felt like death anyway, because he was in agony, he was in bits. And for the reader reading this for the first time in the time of Jesus, they would have been startled at the thought that a leper came into the midst of clean people. But he did. And I want us to look at the leper's approach to Jesus, how he came to Jesus, because this is, I believe, a perfect plan for how everyone becomes a Christian. Every single man, woman and child. There are six points I have here. That's maybe a little more than Sue had earlier on. 6 points showing how to approach Jesus if you are a sinner, if you have the leprosy, which is sin, and you know it yourself, and you have a need, and you want your need fulfilled, if you want cleansing, if you want to know what it's about. Here we have it. This is glorious. I love this story. It's wonderful. I've been so thankful to be able to study for it as I went along, even though I might not have said that yesterday as my knees trembled. The first point is that he was earnest. He was even desperate. He wasn't messing about. He didn't come to Jesus to have a nice, sweet, cozy chat about, when do you stand up, is it to sing, or to, oh, you sit, right, okay. It was not a little churchy thing. It wasn't questions about, oh, do you give the offering during the service? Oh, no, we have it at the beginning, when you go in. Oh, no, we have it when you go out. It wasn't this at all. He didn't want a cosy chat. He wasn't coming casually and thinking, well, I have a wee word about church. Yeah, it'd be a nice wee thing to talk about, a wee bit cosy. No, he came desperate and earnest. It says, he came to him and begged him. He came to Jesus with a longing, with an aching, and he, with every ounce of his body, his mind, his reason, with everything, he begged Jesus to hear him. Now, if you know the burden of sin in your own life, you will be desperate to get rid of it. Every one of us is, when we're aware of how filthy it is and how vile it is. And we will go to God and we will give him no rest whatsoever. You can't be casual about sin. Sin is a desperate thing that puts you out of communion with God. So he came and he had the leprosy and he begged Jesus to hear him. And I want to encourage you, if you are being stirred in your soul, if you've got questions about your own standing with God, where you are with God, I want you to go to God earnestly like this man, and with every ounce of your being, beg him to hear you. Don't let anything get in the way. Don't let anyone get in the way. Go with everything that you have and say, I needs must be heard. I have to be heard. I cannot carry this burden anymore. It's too heavy for me. I'm falling under it. It's crushing me. Hear me, Lord. Please hear me. I must be heard. This is so important, because it's the difference between heaven and hell. And I believe in heaven and I believe in hell. A Bible-believing Christian believes these things, very simply. That was the first one. He was earnest. But notice something else as well, and this is beautiful. He was reverent. He was reverent. He recognized there was something about this Jesus that made him not an ordinary man. He wasn't just a rabbi. He wasn't just another Jewish teacher. This man did miracles. This man had something about him that set him completely apart from other men. He was a man, but he was a very special man. He was the Son of God. He was Emmanuel, God with us, and he came on his knees begging him. Isn't that beautiful? There was a spiritual recognition here that Jesus was higher. Jesus was not ordinary by any stretch of the imagination. So he would have to lower himself down under Jesus and look up to him. He came on his knees begging him. He didn't walk in with his hands in his pockets and think of Jesus as his chum, somebody who was equal to him. No, he had to look up to Jesus. He had to look up to him on his knees and look into his face earnestly, humbly, in teaching him there. He was reverent. He came humbly, the third point as well.
He said, if you are willing. He didn't just say, right, heal me. I want healed. I don't like this anymore. He said, if you are willing, you can heal me. He didn't think he had the right to cleansing. He couldn't just stroll in there as he wanted and say, give it to me now. I want it. I've done 20 years in church. I've gone morning and evening every Sunday and the prayer meeting on Wednesday. No, he didn't at all. He said, if you are willing. He humbly submitted to the sovereign will of God. He knew that this was God. This was somebody that he had to submit to. He saw the power in him. And he said, if you are willing, you can heal me. Have you seen the power of God changing people around you? Friends, family, work acquaintances, the rest. Have you seen that power changing their lives? And they're just not the same they were. You could tell them stories about their past life, and they're just not the same anymore. If you are willing. There was a fourth aspect as well. There was actually belief in this man. There was faith there in his heart, as it was already. He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He knew that this man had the answer, that this Jesus was the one who could heal him of this dreadful disease that was so attacking his body and breaking him down altogether. He knew that Christ had the power. He believed that Christ had the power. He saw that Christ had the power. Can you see? Have you seen that Christ has the power to heal you, to save you, to take the leprosy that is sin away from you altogether? You can make me clean. You see, when we come to God, we must have faith. Now, we touched on this recently in one of our studies in the church here. Hebrews 11, verse 6, a glorious verse. This is just astonishing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that's the word. That's not my philosophy. That's the word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I've gone to so many houses and gone in and asked them where they stand with God, and they say, well, I've gone to the BBs, and then after that I helped with this, and I've been a member for, and I give money every week. But that's not what matters. What matters is the first part, which is faith in your heart. You can do all these things and be the biggest Pharisee in the world. If you think that you can work your way to heaven, think again, because the word says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So he believed in Christ's power. You can make me clean, he said. Fifthly, he moved on and he acknowledged his need. He actually confessed that he was a sinner here. He said, make me clean. Now, for him to ask Jesus to make him clean, he had to know and recognize in the first place that he was dirty. That's the same for all of us. If we, as sinners, come to God, we can only do so if we have seen that we are sinful, that we are dirty, and we need cleansed. But is that the case for all of us? Surely some here have put in a wee bit more attendance in church than others. No, it's exactly the same for everybody. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, we are all as an unclean thing. Now, I don't say this to get at anybody, because it's said to me first, but you are unclean, and I am unclean by nature. We're fallen creatures, every one of us, on exactly the same level. Doesn't matter our jobs, doesn't matter our position in life, we're exactly the same, all of us. We are all as an unclean thing. And we have to recognize that thing. And I want to ask you directly, because the gospel's personal. It goes to you, and it goes to me. Have you realized that you are as an unclean thing? Well, if you have, that's a glorious thing. Because once you've seen that, you should see that there is one who can clean, who can make you completely clean, as white as snow. Make me clean, this man said. Make me clean. And then there was the sixth point. Now this is slightly different here. This is something that I'm sure everybody here can relate to. or they ought to be able to relate to anyway. He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. We've already looked at it in one sense before. He came humbly. But there's another aspect to this as well. Because there's many of us who are so tried on all corners, and the devil comes and he accuses and he says, yes, them, but not you. You've gone beyond the pale. You've gone too far. Your heart's actually too dark. You're too sinful for Jesus. He couldn't manage to clean you. You really are beyond the pale. That's a lie. That is an absolute lie. I was listening to a tape the other day of a man who was third head of the mafia in America. He had carried a gun for years. He had shot people at will. He had people shot. He had contracts put on them, all the rest. His mother and father wouldn't take him into their home. He was a complete outcast. He was a vile man, a violent man, a terrible man. And one day, he realized he had leprosy of the soul. And he came to Jesus as he was, vile and dirty and sinful. And in an instant, Jesus made him perfectly clean. That's the reason I want to stand here. I want to stand here preaching this gospel, because this is amazing. No one is outwith the possibility of being saved and the power of God, no matter what their track record in the past has been. Don't say to yourself, oh yes, it's okay, my friend got converted, my brother, my sister got converted, my mother, my father became a Christian, but maybe it's not for me. It's for you. I want you to hear that very clearly. The gospel is for you. Now, he came that way and begged Jesus on his knees and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So how did Jesus respond to this man's petition? Did he just look on him and said, as a dirty leper? Well, here was Jesus, a great rabbi. He did miracles. He was a wonder worker. He did amazing things. And he was pure and blameless in his own life. Did he just look at him as a dirty leper and say, oh, no way, I'm not touching that. That's too ugly. No, he didn't, not at all. In fact, he did the very, very opposite. It says of him in verse 41, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. His heart was filled with compassion. Now, there's maybe a lot of us that are a wee bit like that. We feel sorry for folks, and we leave it there. Did Jesus leave it there? Was he just filled with compassion? And that was it? No. Jesus was a man of action, a man who acted upon the situations that he saw, a man who took action, and he reached out his hand. It wasn't enough for his heart to go out to him. He actually wanted to touch this outcast, the person who was completely away from the people, the strange individual, the queer person. We have a word for it in Gaelic, nyona. Very strange. Somebody who was nyona. Somebody who was just, you couldn't understand him. Nobody wanted to be his friend because he was just so strange, so different, so dirty. And Jesus reached out to that man and touched him. Can you imagine what that was like for him? A man who had been shunned probably ever since he contracted the disease. A man who was moved away from by people when they saw him coming. They would want to run in the opposite direction. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the uncleanness. I am willing, he said, be clean. Verse 41, I am willing, be clean, is what God is saying to us tonight if we're asking the question, what about me? I am willing, be clean, Jesus says. Can you hear that? I am willing, be clean. God has made it more than clear that he is not willing that sinners should go to hell or that they should perish. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I am willing, be clean, Jesus says tonight. Can you hear him? William MacDonald, a commentator on this passage, says that he is more willing to heal than we are to be healed. And I believe that's true. I believe with all my heart tonight that Jesus is standing over this congregation with his hands stretched out, and he is saying, I am willing, be clean. You're wondering, could he want to heal me? And he's already been saying to you for ages, I am willing, be clean. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only healed this man physically from his ailment, but socially he did something for him that was beyond the man's comprehension, I'm sure. Socially he, as it were, put his arm round him and said, no, I won't have you outcast anymore. I won't have this. I want you in. I want you to realize that you are back in. You are in with me, God incarnate. And he took him to himself and touched him and healed him. Have you felt for a long time that you have been outside the camp, as it were, that you have been outside of this community, that you couldn't be part of it?
Yes, the folks around you could.
Your wife, your husband, your brothers, your sisters, the minister, the elders, the deacons, the assistant minister, but not you. Well, that's not true. I am willing, Jesus says, be clean. And thirdly, what were the effects of God's touch on this man, the touch of Jesus Christ? And that's who we're dealing with here. Jesus is God incarnate. Divine power went out of him, and he healed him, because it says immediately. And I want to tell you tonight that this is always, always, always the way things happen when you come to Jesus in the way this man came. If you come knowing your need, if you come knowing you want to be cleansed, if you come humbly to him and say, if you are willing, and you tell him that you want to be clean, he always, always, always cleans. There has never, and I say this with total confidence, there has never been a man, woman or child in the history of the world who has ever come to Jesus in this way that has not received cleansing. Never in the history of the world. All who have come this way have been healed of the leprosy, which is sin, and have had the righteousness of Christ, the perfect life of Christ, put to their account, as it were. You see, that's what the gospel is all about. Jesus came to this earth to live a perfect life for those who would believe in him. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to die the death that we sinners deserved to die. He took the punishment of our sins on his own body on a tree. As the Bible says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. So you see, when Jesus died there, he was dying for you who would believe in him. Jesus was saying, I'll take the punishment, and by faith in him, it's as if we have been punished already for our sins. I am convinced, and every Christian in here tonight is convinced, that they are going to heaven, not because they are good. They're not. They all have had this leprosy, which is sin. But we are going to heaven because he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. It's because of Jesus. And if we come to him, as this man did, we shall be cleaned. And I could stand here for 5 hours tonight just repeating that, because I desperately want you all to know it and to believe it. You are not beyond the pale. He's talking to you. He is saying, I am willing, be clean. Have you the hand of God hovering over your head tonight? Are you aware of it? Well, come to him in the way this man came and be clean, and you will receive it tonight. I am absolutely certain of that, and the Bible is certain of it. Now, in summary, in the end, here, I'm not going to go to the latter part of it, when the man went away. But I want to give you a wee summary that Warren Wiersbe gave in his book when he was looking at this thing. And I want you to listen to it intently and with seriousness, because the gospel is very serious. In fact, there's nothing more serious that you'll ever hear in your life. Wiersbe says, like sin, leprosy is deeper than the skin. It spreads, it defiles and isolates, and it renders things fit only for the fire. Now, I'm afraid that that is the stark reality of the gospel. That is absolutely true, and I wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Wiersbe. Sin spreads. One little lie can cause so much damage. it defiles and isolates, because when people sin against one another, well, they take huffs and they're separated. And it's a dreadful thing, a fearful thing. People set apart when God has called us to love our neighbours as ourselves and the people around us. It separates us. It makes us dirty and it isolates us. And it renders things fit only for the fire. And the one road away from the fire is to receive that which Jesus is willing to give you right now. I am willing, Jesus says. Be clean. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our holy Father in heaven, when we think about these things, when we stop and meditate for a while in the peace and in the silence, it causes us to tremble that we also have been just as unclean as this poor man, the leper, because of the sin that is in us. Sometimes it has appeared like fingers falling off on a man's body on the outside, when we have been angry and shouted wrongly and treated those whom we should love disrespectfully. It has come out and it has been seen on the outside. But our problem is, O God, that sin is actually in the heart. It's on the inside and it goes deep. And each time we've even had a harsh thought towards another, we have sinned against you. We have come short of your glory. And we have deserved to be punished and cast out from your presence. Lord, we pray tonight that as a body, corporately, we might come to you and kneel down like this leper did and ask that if you are willing, you may clean us. Lord, we would come to you tonight confessing our sins and our need of your cleansing. Lord, we do with all our hearts, and we want to confess the sin not only that we have committed, but our community and our nation. For decades now, we have turned further and further from the Word of God. And more each day now, we see grandmothers and grandfathers being attacked and raped in their homes. We are seeing children being defiled, little primary children being hooked on drugs when unscrupulous men go in and sell them drugs. Our nation is in a desperate state. Violence is on the increase. And we know why it is, Lord. It's because of the leprosy of sin. And we want to turn back to you, O Lord God eternal. And I want to join with John's prayer at the beginning, asking that you would revive us again in this place, that you would begin your revival in us, Lord. We are the ones with the need. We can only see the sin of our own heart. We daren't have a look at others when we have enough to contend with ourselves. And we come to you, Lord, tonight, and we ask, if you are willing, make us clean. And then as we raise our heads, we see the hand of Jesus over us, reaching out to us from heaven, stretching out towards us and saying, I am willing, be clean. Lord, give us spiritual wisdom tonight to discern what your purposes are, what your call is. Lord, effectually, powerfully and mightily call souls to yourself tonight and save them, Lord, and cleanse them from that sin which would only render us fit for the fire. Lord, we're pleading with you. With all that we have in our being, we pray, Eternal One, come in mighty power and stretch out your holy hand and cleanse us, Lord. We are the ones that need to be cleansed. We cannot point the finger at others. It's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, cleanse us, we pray. Wash us by the blood of Jesus Christ, which, as the Bible tells us, cleanses us from all sin. Lord, we commit our lives into your hands and ask that you would be merciful to us. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, amen.